WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
At the end of April, New Orleans will see yet another Jazz and Heritage Festival take place, an event that's become one of the most popular music festivals in the world. It was inspired by a number of people who felt that a lot of the great New Orleans musicians weren't getting any recognition at home, and that probably one of the leading examples of that oversight was Henry Rowland Byrd, known to one and all as Professor Longhair. Fess, as he was known to some, was born in Bogalusa, Louisiana in 1918 and was well known in New Orleans as a tap dancer and a guitar player before he picked up some piano licks in the 30s. He was a natural-born hustler and worked at all kinds of things, from professional gambling to boxing, and lived such a hard life that he was discharged from the Army in the middle of World War II for reasons of health. But when the record company started coming to New Orleans in the post-war boom, Professor Longhair was ready for them. Mardi Gras in New Orleans was his first record, and it became an anthem, played continually on the radio and on jukeboxes all during Mardi Gras season, year after year. Naturally, it didn't make Fess rich. He'd signed away the rights in time-honored fashion. Anyway, there were more songs where that one came from.
Come nowhere. Oh, look at that. She got nowhere. Hey, look at that. Where's that girl at?
He got his nickname from this song, which was recorded variously as Bald Head and She Ain't Got No Hair, when somebody decided that Professor Longhair would be a great name for a man singing about a bald-headed woman. How his band got stuck with the name The Shuffling Hungarians, though, is a mystery shrouded in the mists of time. Professor Longhair's trademark was a kind of rumba crossed with a blues shuffle, a rhythm that's fiendishly difficult to play on the piano, and frequently he was cursed with drummers who couldn't follow him, but occasionally the combination clicked. This so-called second-line rhythm was going to become a big thing in New Orleans rock and roll, but it was pretty avant-garde in 1953 when Fess first recorded one of his masterpieces, Tipitina, for Atlantic Records. Although his records never sold very well, Fess was recognized by other musicians as being in the great tradition of piano professors that stretched back to the days before Jelly Roll Morton. His own teachers, Archibald and Toots Washington, were seldom recorded, but such youngsters as Fats Domino and Alan Toussaint brought Fess's style into the mainstream of rock and roll. What's really odd about Professor Longhair is that after years of poverty and heavy drinking, when he was rediscovered by blues scholars in the early 70s, he was playing better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
This recording, made in 1971, was hot. Live, he was a revelation, and he began to tour with a new group, which he called the Blues Scholars. Young musicians would seek him out. I have a friend who took piano lessons from him for several months, and everyone agreed he personified New Orleans. Finally, somebody managed to record him with his great band, and it was announced that he'd release an album in February 1980 that would show the world how great he was. Fess probably figured his work was done, because he died in his sleep 2 days before it came out. He'd lived to see himself have his own nightclub, Tipitina's, and he'd played all over the world. And best of all, he'd left his best music behind for us all to hear.